Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast today. We're so thankful that you are with us, and we have a special broadcast to bring to you today, but we're so thankful that you've tuned in. It's a very important day. Some important things have happened in our country. We're going to talk about those today, and so I thought I need to find a competent political commentator, pundit to come in and help me with this. And I couldn't find any, so I got Pastor Al to come in with me. Pastor Al, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, I guess.
Best introduction you've ever had, isn't it?
So, well, you know, ironically, I was getting ready to say, so how'd you get me?
That's like when you're at a preacher's meeting.
Thank you.
We tried to get everybody, but, well, we got this guy instead, you know. So anyway, thanks for being with us. This is an important time.
Yeah. And, I did want to mention, you're going to be with me in the next half hour as well in our program.
So. Yeah, we're locked ourselves in here, so we're stuck.
Nobody's allowed in.
Yeah, so anyway, as events unfolded yesterday, many of us started blowing up Al's phone, Pastor Al's phone, and saying, boy, we need to talk about this. And of course, most of you are familiar what has taken place tragically in our country. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, scripturally and politically, socially, all the things that try to make some sense of it, at least share some opinions and some thoughts, and try to help us continue to move on and prepare and get engaged. And I tell you, I am you just sense that something has, a line has been crossed. And I don't know if you feel that, Pastor Al, but you just feel like there's been a line crossed where the guy who's kind of sitting on the sidelines, like, well, you know, here it is. They're kind of like, no, this isn't going to fly. And I don't know if that's the sense that you got or not, but.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and a lot of people have been wondering, have we as a nation reached a tipping point?
Yeah.
And my opinion personally is that yes, we've gone over the tipping point, and we're on the downward slide.
Yeah.
I think we just began accelerating a lot faster yesterday, but there are people who are kind of like, well, I'm not sure if we reached a tipping point or not, who have now come out and said, yes, our nation has definitely crossed the line. We're over the tipping point. And we've officially, you know, people have been saying, this is a banana republic, what's going on? Yeah. Well, we've officially become a third world banana republic with this unprecedented corruption in the White House and the executive branch, using the powers of the federal government and the judiciary to persecute political opponents.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard about it for years from all other countries, but now it's here, it's on our doorstep. And we kind of knew it. I mean, I don't know that anybody's really shocked with the outcome of the verdict, because it was New York, and you know, there's some great constitutional lawyers, both conservative and liberal, that I mean, almost every one of them come out and said from the beginning, this thing is just wrong. There's no crime. They're manufacturing. In fact, Alan Dershowitz, who's pretty popular, he reminded us of Stalin. It was either Stalin or one of his guys saying, "Show me the man, and I'll find the crime."
I think it was Stalin. Yes.
Yeah. And so it appears that that's the case. And you know, we were talking about it about some of the verses that really speak of this, and so we want to share some of those with you today. And I want to read Proverbs 11. 10 and 11, it says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, but when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Now, that I think, if things go all well in November with an election, and you put down this nefarious act, there'll be some great shouting. And that's a rejoicing. Mm-hmm. That's talking about. In fact, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And then you had mentioned one, Proverbs 29 and verse 2, which I thought was good. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Yes.
And there's a lot of mourning. There's a lot of sorrow last night and tonight, today. But there's some really great things, I think, that have taken place. in light of that, where there's still a sense of hope that maybe something can come out of this. And I think that's the sense that you get. And I think President Trump is, as is expected of him continually, is he's very confident in his innocence, and he's very confident that this is persecution, and this was all made up. And so there's a verse, it's in Proverbs, it might be 28, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And some will take issue with that. Oh, he's not a righteous man. When you stand for what you know, you've done nothing wrong, and you right. stand, that's the idea. The wicked man, because he gets convicted of his conscience or he's scared of accountability, he takes off and he runs. But the man who knows he's done nothing wrong and is being persecuted, he'll stand there and fight. And that's how I see that verse. I think that's what Trump's really doing.
Well, and compare that with Proverbs 28:12. Where it says, when righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. It says the same thing much in verse 28.
Yeah.
When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. And, you know, this is what you do see, I think, as part of what's going on here, is this effort to intimidate people,
yeah.
to keep people from speaking out, to keep people from taking a stand. Because, you know, the devil knows that a lot of people just go and hide when stuff like this takes place. The left knows this. They understand it because, you know, it's the devil that's empowering them. And
yeah.
It's the mystery of iniquity that's working in the world that Paul warned about.
Yeah.
And so people want to hide. That's the natural tendency.
Yeah.
But, you know, I prefer to think of what Paul told the Ephesians, and having done all, stand.
Yeah.
Stand.
Yeah, and these are the moments that we stand. But as I tell our church often, man, you got to be living right. You got to be doing right, or you're not going to stand because you're mm-hmm. just as compromised.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's not that God expects perfection, but, you know, it's that we're living righteously, we're doing the right thing, we're standing for the truth. And the reality is, Isaiah 59 says that in transgressing and going away from the Lord, which is really the key issue of why we're at where we're at. I'm going to turn over there. It says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it. So when you stand, you're going to be the prey, because the human nature wants to go in the wrong direction, right? That's the lust of the
right,
flesh.
Right.
So the human nature wants to go that way. The righteous man, the man who does right, wants to do right, stands for what's right, he's going to have a flurry of opposition. And I don't know that you could stand where Donald Trump is standing right now if you didn't know I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, and it's just, I watched when he came out, you know, I watched it later. I had an appointment that I was watching, listening to the radio, you know, trying to follow the news right at 5 o'clock, I think, or 5:30, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, somewhere around.
And I just left my car to go into my appointment. And I was just getting started. Like you said, my phone was blowing out. People calling me. And yeah. I couldn't really respond to anybody. And I hadn't even seen it until I got done with everything. And but watching his demeanor as he came out, a couple things struck me. You know, here he is. What is he? He's 78, I believe it is. 77. He's up there.
Yeah.
And... and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, I am not that old. I'm older than I was yesterday, but I'm not that old.
Yeah.
I'm in my 60s, and my early 60s, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, I don't know how I could have sat in that courtroom day after day like he was required to do.
Yeah.
And then to have this happen, to come out there and take the stand that he did, he looked a little tired, which is understandable. He had just come out of the courtroom, and...
And he wasn't allowed to leave.
No.
He had to stay there during the whole deliberation.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him leave, which is unprecedented.
Yeah.
This is just ridiculous. All part of the manipulation that was going on. And yet he took that stand, a principled stand, and again said that I am fighting for you, yeah. and I am fighting for the Constitution. I am fighting for this country.
Yeah.
And I thought of the contrast between him and the other side.
Yeah.
They're not fighting for this country. They're not fighting for you and me.
Yeah.
They're fighting for themselves. They're after the power. They're after the money.
Money, yeah.
The money that that power brings.
Yeah.
And they're after the things of this world. And they don't care what they have to do to get it, to maintain it.
Yeah.
And there's arguments, is Donald Trump saved or not? And the fact of the matter is, I tell people, if God could use Balaam's donkey, he can use an unsaved person if he is unsaved.
Yeah.
And if he's saved, then certainly we could understand God strengthening him. But whatever the case was, this is a man that was taking a principled stand, a selfless stand. That's he could have walked away from this a long time
ago. Yeah, he had no reason. He didn't have to do any of this.
No. Yeah. No, he could have a long time ago went away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this. So there was a time in the country, and the way the Constitution was designed was it was to save, talking about as Americans, save us from unjust and injustice and unjust persecutions. And the old adage was, it's better to let 1,000 guilty go than one innocent man be a violent. Now, we just violated that principle.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So now it's not a matter of the Constitution saving us. We're literally in a position where we're trying to save the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose that completely. And it's been said for years, it's hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
Well, that thread may have got snipped yesterday. I don't know, but it clearly did great damage that I don't know if it's reversible or not. It may be irreversible to, because there's always going to be that suspect. Is this legitimate? Is this, are these trumped up charges? Not to use that. It's hard to use that because you use that name, but, there's always going to be suspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way to restore integrity in the system. And that has to be to the holding accountable of those who have violated the Constitution.
Right.
But do you think most Americans have the stomach for what has to take place in regards to the legitimate trials, the legitimate treason, whatever may, and the legitimate consequences that our law calls for in order to take care of that?
That's a very good question. You think about that. And it reflects something that I heard somebody say and suggest here. They said, and this was before the verdict came out, they said, if he's found guilty, he said, every Republican prosecutor in the country should begin immediately looking at every Democrat official from the local through the county, through the state, through the federal level, and find out what little things that they can file charges on. In other words, give them a taste of their own medicine. Yeah. And what he was saying there was, we need to make people realize what a travesty this is, because most people would react by saying, well, that's ridiculous. We don't want to sink to their level. And he said, but that's part of the problem, because they're fighting. We're going to fight. We're going to be out there like a boxer fighting by the Marcus of Queensbury rules.
Yeah.
And they're fighting like a street fighter, brass knuckles, throwing sand in your face. Yeah. And because they have no standards. Now, we don't want to become our enemy fighting our enemy, obviously. But at the same time, like you said, are we willing to do what it takes to rescue our Constitution, our country?
Yeah.
I use the illustration all the time at our church. The best brakes in the world on your car don't do a bit of good if you don't use them.
That's right.
And that's where we're at right now. Yeah. We have good laws. We have good governing documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, if we would only apply them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And do you think, it seems to me when people are persecuting other people, it's such a short-sighted endeavor, right? They're not thinking of the consequence. For instance, yesterday, I heard this morning that small donors They made they donated over like $35 million. One commentator said, "Yeah, he gained $1 million for every guilty verdict."
Yeah.
So I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah, they crashed the servers.
They crashed the servers, and so I was with our friend Gene Piazza this morning, and so Gene mentioned this, and this was the verse that was on his heart, and I want to share it with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He talks about, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And this was the verse, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I'm not saying that's Trump. What I'm saying is, had they known what the outcome could be, they may have thought this thing through. But I think we're so far beyond them thinking rationally, and it goes to hatred. There's so much hatred. And this is the danger. I spoke about this on the radio maybe last month sometime. Hatred is so destructive because it distorts the vision of being able to see properly what's going on around you. And so you end up doing the most foolish things. And we've all in our lives been angry and mad and said things we shouldn't and done things, maybe done things we shouldn't. And it's just rooted out of this hatred. And it made me think of Mordecai and Haman. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking, I've mentioned this many times on the radio, but about Haman's gallows.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, Haman hated Mordecai. I mean, he could not stand Mordecai because Mordecai would not go along with what everybody else was doing. He wouldn't play the game. And so Haman ascends up to power, and now he becomes a threat unto, I'm trying to turn over there, my hands are, oh, there it is, Esther chapter 5. So now Haman has been elevated, and he starts bragging, chapter 5, verse 11. He tells him of the glory of the riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king has promoted him, and how he advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Because he wouldn't bow down and he wouldn't give reverence. So his wife comes along and says, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou merrily with the king unto the banquet. And this thing pleased Haman and caused the gallows to be made. And just to jump ahead here, Esther chapter 6, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. This was the king's wrath pacified. Yeah. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Well, here's a verse that goes right along with that. That fulfills what Obadiah wrote. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. And this is what applies. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thine own head.
There you go.
You know, the wicked have dug a pit, as it says several times in Proverbs, and they fall therein. And, you know, when we look at what's happening and the persecution that we're seeing of Donald Trump, and it's not him, it's what he represents, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just kind of standing for all of us.
But I want to go back to something you talked about, hatred. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you.
Yeah.
So we understand it troubles you, but then it says, and thereby many be defiled.
Yeah.
And look how our country is suffering because it's irrational hatred that's caused a bitterness in the left. You know, they call it Trump derangement syndrome for a reason. It's almost like a sickness. I had somebody one time telling me all these things about Trump constantly, and I said, and he was somebody suffering Trump derangement syndrome, and I said, so does Donald Trump live in your head rent free, or does he pay for that privilege? Because you talk about him far more than I ever do, and that's where we're at. We are seeing the results of this hatred affecting our country, affecting not just our country, affecting the world around us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, our founders talked. I wish I was reading last night Bill Bennett's book on the spirit of America.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a great quote in there about Madison talks about, you know, if something falls, this affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're looked at it that the last kind of bastion of hope.
Yes.
That people look towards. And so the one thing about America was the justice system was always the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And now that cannot be said right now because the scales have been tipped. And the dangerous thing, and the thing that's astounding to me is there's no hiding of this, brother. I mean,
no,
we watched this whole thing, and now, you know, take the sentencing date.
Yes.
Now they strategically make it 4 days before the convention, the Republican convention. And, I mean, there's no coincidence with these guys.
No.
These guys are wicked. They are vile men. They are all kind of, they use the word cabal. There's a cabal of these wicked men that, I mean, they've got all these things strategically laid out. But the problem with it is it's the same thing with the devil. The mm-hmm. devil had all these things he was doing, but he didn't know what the final outcome was going to be.
Right.
He just thought he did because of his pride, and pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you rest assured, every one of these, lest they repent and get right with God, mm-hmm. They are going to suffer, whether this life or the next. They are on the wrong side of this. Because you read the book of Psalms, you read the book of Proverbs, and how much God is against oppression, speaking loftily and oppressing people. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for things like this. And justly so, we should be too. And maybe we're seeing that part because it goes back to what I read in Isaiah 59, I think, in transgressing and going away from the Lord. And that's mm-hmm. really what the problem is, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
Because our Constitution, John Adams, I think it was, said it's only for a moral and religious people.
Right.
It's wholly inadequate for the governance of any other.
Yeah. And wasn't it Adams, I think, also that said, or maybe it was Madison, who made the comment that if men were angels, there would be no need
yeah.
for laws.
Yeah.
If men were angels. But obviously, I guess we could say we're fallen angels. But he was talking about holy angels.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, but obviously, because we have a sinful heart.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, playing out in the political arena what's going on in the heart of every
That's
single
right.
person.
That's right.
A struggle between evil and good,
yeah.
between light and darkness. And you know, this is where, as pastors, you know, our desire is to help people to see the light that comes from the gospel.
That's right.
Because, you know, when you look at the dark and trying times that we're in, the only light that's not going to fail us is the light from Christ, light
Amen.
From the scripture.
Yeah.
And you look at these things that are happening, and anybody that tries to say that man is inherently good, and you look at what's going on, you just can't make that claim.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need help.
Yeah.
And we're not going to, I love the Constitution. I took an oath to defend the Constitution
sure.
when I was in the Air Force. But Constitution's not going to save us.
That's right.
It's a good document.
Yeah.
But what's going to save us is Christ. And
Absolutely.
I'm talking about spiritually and give yeah. us the guidance we need to get through this.
Well, and part of the problem is, as we're getting close to the end of the first half hour here, is you know, this is the uncertainty of the hour. When judgment mm-hmm. begins to fall upon a land, there's no telling. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. There never is.
No.
But we're watching greater devastation, greater crimes, greater deaths that are happening, and we need to be prepared for that. You know, Jesus came and he tasted death for every man.
Right.
And so whether you die physically or not, that's not the issue. The wages of sin is death is not speaking mm-hmm. because of the physical. It's about the spiritual.
Right.
And this is, like you mentioned, a spiritual battle. But the greatest spiritual battle is the one in your own heart of whether you're going to trust Christ and be saved, or you're going to reject Christ and be lost forever. And it doesn't matter who you voted for or anything of that nature
mm-hmm.
because your fate is already sealed.
Right.
And
right.
And so, you know, we implore you to look into Christ, seek after the truth, look unto the light. I know men don't come to the light because they love darkness rather than light, but Jesus is the light of the world, and his word is light. The law is light. You got to look into it. You got to see for yourself, because the Lord's coming. and you better be prepared. And the only way to be prepared is to have trusted Christ as your Savior, to believe His words. I say often, the only difference between me and an atheist is I've believed the words that have been written and they haven't. And that's the only difference. Choose Christ today. Believe Him for what He said. He is the Savior of the world. Trust Him. I hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be back right after a short break here.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.